The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
You know those short viral clips you see of influencers on TikTok and Instagram? Well, there is an army and an industry behind them, because companies are now hiring clippers to flood TikTok and Instagram with short promotional videos that game the algorithm. I'm joined by Elaine Burke, host of For Tech's Sake podcast, for more on all of this. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, how you doing?
This is messing with my brain. I thought that the influencers and the podcast makers clipped their own stuff, but there's other people doing it. So how's it all working?
The fact that there's a mix of things happening here kind of helps for this industry to operate in the shadows. And it works well when it operates in the shadows, because we don't ever want to feel like we're being manipulated when we're scrolling through our feeds and things like that. And if there's a signal that that's happening, we will be turned off. So the idea of clipping is that it's meant to look as organic as possible. So there's agencies, and there's some brands will do it directly themselves, that they will set up, say, a private discussion forum on something like Discord, and they will post to that and say, I want you to share clips of this film, this song, this TV show that's due to come out, or this performance that happened at Coachella or something like that. Talk about what you loved about it. And if you can get 1,000 views, you'll get $1, and you'll get $1 for every accruing extra 1,000 views that you can get over that. So you do have to have a very popular clip to actually get paid for this. But people see it as, say, maybe an easy side hustle to get involved in. And the idea is that it's meant to be, as I said, ordinary users that have real accounts that are posting as a normal person online, but they get involved in this as a side hustle. But some people, because they see an opportunity for money to be made, start creating fake accounts and post to 1,000 accounts as one person, all of them made to look like a real person sharing this band that I just discovered that I really like. Or it can even be less obvious than that with the likes of TikTok and Instagram. You can plug a song into a clip really easily. So you can kind of, you know, soundtrack your clips by choosing the song. So it's just telling people, like, next time you do your little holiday montage, make sure you put this song in it. And it just means that we, as scrolling people, are exposed to that content. And, you know, marketing is all about exposure to something. And it's, you know, it's insidious and subtle, and it's less obvious than advertising.
If I decide I want to be a clipper, I've got to be able to sort of suss out what's going to work. And I've got to hit the jackpot by finding something that is just of the moment. It's in the zeitgeist, and I put it out there and I keep sending it out and I keep finding clips that are similar to that clip, and I am a winner.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's become easier to game that, because a lot of our feeds now, it used to be that your social media feed was filled with things that you decided that you wanted to follow, appearing in a chronological order. So you were getting your taste recommendations from friends, from people you knew, or from people that you wanted to follow and admired or whatever. But these days, increasingly, all the most popular platforms default to a algorithmically curated feed. So you haven't decided what shows up in your feed. It's not chronological, and it's often not specifically the group of people you followed. It's what an algorithm has decided, like, you may also like. And that means that if a campaign is orchestrated to say, can we get all of these people to post clips about this thing, even if a few of them aren't making money off of it, they are still feeding the beast in this, essentially. They're creating content around something that signals to the algorithm, a lot of people are making content about this particular film or this particular band. They must be something that people want to talk about and that's interested in, because the algorithm isn't a curator, it's a piece of code, and it's just responding to signals about what's out there and what's published. And it can also, like, lead to kind of exposure to things that people were never aware of in kind of a suspicious way. So in 2022, Andrew Tate was the most Googled person in the world. And the reason for that is that a lot of people were suddenly exposed to this Manosphere character, having never interacted with the Manosphere ever before. And his Hustlers University, which is his kind of online get-rich-quick type of training program, actually encouraged people who signed up to it to share clips of Andrew Tate. And if they could convert anybody who'd seen those clips to become subscribers, they would get a commission. So he was an early adopter of this idea of creating an army of clippers to basically ramp up your exposure and your name being out in the world outside of the circles that you normally are in.
So when it comes to the economy of this, who are the people who are making money from this?
So there's the clippers themselves. Some of them are making substantial numbers, but the majority of people, this is kind of like when you hear that people make millions off of YouTube. That's a tiny, tiny percentage of the people who post to YouTube. So the majority of them would be probably making a few quid if they're lucky. But as I said, they probably just see it as an easy side hustle to try and make a few quid. But then there's actually agencies that have been set up to be the in-between for this thing. So there's an agency called Chaotic Good who have spoken quite openly about this, and this is what has exposed to a lot of people that this stuff is going on. There's also digital marketing agencies that do other types of marketing but engage in these kind of services. There's one in Brooklyn called 100 Days. There's also, it's defunct now, but there was a company called Floodify, and literally it's... service was that they set up fake accounts to share things on a marketing team's behalf. So there's agencies inserting themselves into this. And what's interesting is Chaotic Good used to have listed on its website campaigns that it had worked with, people it had worked with, and also a reporter had infiltrated one of their private chat groups to find what things they were asking people to post about. And they found that there were campaigns around the Met Gala, around the band Geese, around the TV show For All Mankind, around the new film Michael about Michael Jackson, and around Justin Bieber's Coachella performance. But what they can't confirm, this reporter couldn't confirm, was where they hired to do those campaigns, because sometimes these companies are trying to prove themselves as well.
So they just take it on.
So they might have just taken on a project to try and sell it back to someone as something that they could do.
I suppose it tells us a couple of things, right? That we shouldn't pay too much heed to things that are trending online, because we could be just victims of the hustle there. But also how difficult it is for businesses or individuals or people with podcasts to make their mark when they're up against this.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I make clips. I do a podcast. We're doing an episode on clipping this week. But For Tech's Sake is doing that just because we kind of know that that's the way that you get to be known as a brand. But I'm very fully aware that I'm not really serving the listenership of the podcast by doing these clips, because they don't convert very well. Like, even for the biggest people out there, like Clavicular is a big name at the moment, having broken out of the manosphere for this looks maxing trend. But Clavicular's numbers in terms of being a live streamer are quite modest. You might get a few thousand viewers per live stream. But his clips can get millions. And ever since he broke out into mainstream and is being profiled by the likes of the New York Times, he is getting 70 million views, like tens of millions views, as opposed to a few million views. So it kind of inflates the idea of someone's influence. And we have to understand how much of that is inflated, because over 50% of the internet is bots now as well. So a lot of views can't even be taken as read.
Oh, Shalee. It's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
kind of like nothing.
There's no organic viral trends anymore, really. Practically everything is seeded and manipulated in
there
some
you go.
Kind of way.
Well, that's the bottom line, isn't it? There are no organic trends. Elaine, thanks so much. Elaine Burke there, host of For Tech's Sake podcast, which is real and true. And you should listen to it. Thank you so much for being with us.
The Claire Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.